You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Westwood One Radio Network, Kentucky, John Calipari losing to Oakland in the NCAA tournament. Their head coach will join us in 30 minutes. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. And yes, day one of the NCAA tournament. The biggest story is Kentucky going down a 3-seed to a 14-seed Oakland in the NCAA tournament. Oakland advances to face an 11-seed in NC State, continuing their run by beating Texas Tech last night. But it puts in the bigger picture conversation about Kentucky. Guys, as this is a program historically that is all-time great, we know that. But when you look at John Calipari, there is nobody that recruits players for the NBA better than this man. Character guys who go to Kentucky, go on to the NBA, make millions and millions of dollars, that if you were to combine an all-Kentucky team in the NBA, you're winning a championship every single year. That's how good the players are when they get there. Problem is, they're 1-4 in their last tournament games. No Final Four since 14-15. They haven't been past the second round in since 18-19. There was a COVID year in there with no tournament. They haven't won a title since 11-12. And John Calipari has the same amount of titles at Kentucky as Tubby Smith does and Rick Pitino does. John Calipari is looked at above those guys at times because of his personality and the flash and the NBA players, etc. And Calipari postgame after the loss discussed his recruiting philosophy.
I'll look at other ways that we can do stuff. But, you know, there's this thing here. It's a different animal. We've been able to help so many kids and win so many games and Final Fours, national titles and all this stuff. Win league championships with young guys. It's changed on us. It's all of a sudden it's gotten really old. So we're playing teams that our average age is 19. Their average age is 24 and 25. So do I change because of that? Maybe add a couple older guys to supplement.
See, this is where we get into this debate about what's his job. What is John Calipari's job? Is it to produce NBA players or to win in college? Because, and he's talking about national titles. No, one. Nope, not plural. One. So what is his job? I got to be fair on this, right?
The job is to win.
Win in college.
In college. The job is to put banners at Kentucky. And over the past five seasons, they have not been close. And I can understand the frustration for Kentucky fans because certain programs throughout sports, the expectations are simply different than they are elsewhere. And Kentucky is one of those places. And regardless of all the talent that you're able to accrue, all the big names that are coming out of your program, you're falling short where it ultimately matters.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But it's not just about what happens once you get here, even though that's how you'll be judged. It's also about setting yourself up to have success this time of year, what you do in the regular season, what you do in your conference tournament. And what, it's been, 4 years since Kentucky has won the SEC regular championship, and even longer than that since they won the SEC tournament? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're talking about the one-and-done era versus these teams that have had guys together for 3 and 4 years, but when you're in SEC play, when you're in league play, you're playing against other schools that have one-and-done players, and you're not having the level of success that you once upon a time did. So the question is whether or not you've lost your touch and whether or not you're the right voice, the right face for Kentucky basketball moving forward. And with each early exit from the NCAA tournament, especially the last two when they lost the first one. I mean, you lost 2 years ago to St. Peter's, a 15 seed. You lost last night to Oakland, a 14 seed. Like, when you have those losses, like, it is hard to get off the mat with that. And now with everybody seemingly catching up because they're able to recruit the same level of talent that you once upon a time seemingly had exclusive rights to, I just feel like we might be at the end of seeing Coach Cal in Kentucky compete at the highest levels of the sport in April.
Well, if this is the end, you know you're getting rid of an elite, beyond elite recruiter in a landscape in college athletics where recruiting talent is more crucial than ever. And as Pete Thamel put out last night, if you're getting rid of him, his contract calls for him to be owed 75% of the value remaining on his deal. That's $33 million. Mm. So not only are you getting rid of an elite recruiter, which you're definitely going to need with whoever you bring in, you're on the hook for a lot of money to say goodbye to this guy. So you better make sure that you have the correct person in place to succeed him if, in fact, you're going to make this decision if you're Kentucky.
So I would assume Kentucky boosters can put that up if they really want Calipari not there. You know, CeCe, you said maybe he's lost his touch. I'd argue this is his touch. I think he recruits to get players in order to get the next version of those players. I don't think he recruits for those players within a 4 or 5 year stretch to win a national championship.
Right, but the NBA is not cutting his checks, Kentucky.
Correct.
Is.
And that's the problem, right? That's where the gray area comes in here. Is I believe that he recruits to get a one and done player to then say to the next family, Canties, look at what the Smallmans did. You're next. Come here. I'm going to develop you. I have contacts in the NBA. I'm going to make you a better person because, to his credit, the guys he has there are good people, character guys, the whole deal. And you're going to be the, Chris, you're going to be the next Michelle. That nothing there is you're going to cut down the nets. I think the Kentucky fans right now probably want the 4 or 5 year player who ultimately will be an accountant in Lexington and make appearances at Kentucky versus playing in the NBA when they're done. Because those are the players that potentially have an opportunity to win games is how they're looking at it. Because the Kentucky fans want to cut down the net. They want banners. John Calipari is looking at it. He has a different view for the job. I want to make young men millionaires and be successful for the rest of their lives and take care of their families to help the next version of that young man. Neither are wrong. It's just what is the actual job here?
Well, the job is to win, mm-hmm. right? It's simple. Like, you're a coach. You play to win the game. Herb Edwards said it a long time ago. Like, that is the ultimate job. Now, having talent allows you to do that. And to your point, once upon a time, Cal was the only game in town when these guys were looking to monetize their athletic ability as early in the process as they possibly could.
Yep.
Ergo, one and done.
Right.
But now that's changed. Because coming out of high school, I can get paid.
Right.
I can get paid. I don't have to go to Kentucky. I can go anywhere and get paid. Now, that hasn't precluded Cal from getting talent, but what I'm saying is these other schools in your league and these other schools across the country are able to get similar guys because guess what? They're paying them to go there.
They've got the resources.
Exactly. So, again, it puts you in a spot where you're not setting yourselves up with the opportunity to go on a deep tournament run because you're starting off with a lower seed in the NCAA tournament. Like, the last time that Cal had a number one seed, guess what? They were in the Final Four. They were in the Final Four. Like, that's what it is. And so, I guess that would be the thing that I would point to is what you do in the regular season, what you do in your conference tournament, laying the groundwork for you to be able to go on a deep tournament run. And we just haven't seen that from Kentucky in recent years.
If they do decide to move on from Calipari or he decides to move on from them, that's a problem. What's the solution? For me, Kentucky is a big enough program where they need to accomplish both of these things. They need to produce NBA players because that's the marketing, that's the branding, that's the sell. But they also need to win in college. Billy Donovan, head coach of the Chicago Bulls, former Gators head coach, is the perfect example, and former Kentucky assistant, is a guy who's proven to do both. He can produce NBA players and win in college.
And he's won in that league, too.
Yeah. And Jay Wright, but I don't think Jay Wright is going to want to voluntarily take the scrutiny around Kentucky. No. Right? I think he's doing great on CBS.
Jay Wright is cool.
And I think NBA would be the next step.
But why would Billy Donovan want to take
because
all that
Because Billy, on? Look at the Bulls. This is and I understand
it's still
that
still the NBA.
I know, and I understand that they've played better recently. But one of the earliest, funniest moments on this show that we had, if you remember, the Bulls had a players-only meeting after the first game.
I remember that,
right?
Yes.
And it's like that franchise is going nowhere right now. Sorry, Chicago, but like they just don't seem
so
like they're going. Are they going somewhere? The play-in. They're now going. They're in the play-in every year. Billy Donovan may be wooed by the idea of let me get out before they get me. Give me a number that I can't refuse. Let me go to Kentucky where I've been before in a league that I've won, knowing that I can get players in the NBA because I've done it a million times, and that I can win a college because I've won two championships and been to more Final Fours. I'm not suggesting they're going to get rid of Calipari. I'm suggesting the main issue here is I believe Calipari thinks his job is one thing, and I believe the fans think his job is another thing.
If they don't get rid of Cal now, I wonder how long the runway is. I wonder if that's a conversation that's being had because it's been 5 years and the results are not there. At what point, if it's not now, does Kentucky determine we need to make a change here? Or I guess I wonder how much longer it could continue at this rate if they continue to have early tournament exits to where they're just going to say enough is enough.
I think we're getting to that point now. Like, that's the scary part about it. I mean, the results speak for themselves. The last 3 years, it just hasn't been good enough. You hadn't been able to get out of the first round of the tournament. And then 2 years prior to that, you weren't in the tournament. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think we're starting to get to that point now where people are questioning whether or not it's worth it to keep Cal around, especially with the expense that he you know, the dollar figure that you're shelling out to him, but also the regression of the program relative to everything that's happening around you in the SEC. Not just what's happening in college basketball, what's happening in your league in the programs that have seemingly passed you by right now. Like Tennessee, where they're at. Auburn, where they're at. Like Alabama, where they're at, producing draft picks. Like these programs seemingly have you in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
And if you're a Kentucky fan, that's hard to digest. So there's got to be a level of urgency in terms of getting things turned around and allowing your team to have success once we get to the NCAA tournament. And I'm just not sure that Cal is the one that's going to be able to get you there.
As you were saying that, a thought popped in my head. Kentucky was always a team that was feared.
Yeah.
They've lost that fear factor.
No doubt.
Part of their brand and their identity has also eroded from this process. Because before, you'd see that you're playing Kentucky in the tournament, you'd say, oh, Kentucky, man, that's going to be a tough out. And now, based on the other teams in the SEC and the way that Kentucky's performed in the tournament, they're not a team that strikes that intimidation like they did in years past.
No, now you almost want to. If you're a double-digit seeded team, like, oh, I could play Kentucky? Sure.
But that's hard for a Kentucky fan to swallow.
Again, I think that John Calipari believes, and he's right to believe this, that he is better at his job than anyone else in the country. And I believe his job is in his mind, making young men into adults and millionaires and have generational wealth.
I think he wants to win, too. I don't think there's
I don't think that's first for him.
Well, it might not be first, but he wants to win. Like, it might not be first, but it's a close second.
He's
like he wants to win. You're not in it coaching to say, oh, well, I don't really care about the results on the court. Like, that matters. Like, that's a part of the branding as well. And and this is a shot for the brand, what's happened in the NCAA tournament, being ousted the first weekend of tournament play the last 3 years. There's no way around that. So you have to ask yourself, can he restore the luster that comes along with Kentucky basketball for Big Blue Nation? And based on the recent results, you're starting to feel like that's doubtful. And if he's not going to do it now, like, when is he going to do it?
Right.
And these are great fans. These are the kind of fans that are going to Vivid Seats and buying the tickets and filling up RUP every single game. And you can do the same with Vivid Seats, CeCe.
Oh, yeah. Secure the seats and the memories this year with Vivid Seats. Your home for every dunk, every slap shot, every stolen base. Vivid Seats celebrates fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards, you earn with every purchase, from buzzer beaters to walk-off home runs. Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter to you. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Dan Graziano is here, ESPN NFL reporter. All right, we've talked about Arizona Cardinals. Monty Ozenford, their general manager, basically yesterday says, hey, we're open for business. You right. Interpret that how, Graz?
Like a good GM with a good spot in the draft. If you have a top five pick in the draft and you don't need a quarterback, like that's you're sitting on a pot of gold. And so Monty Ozenford, I'm sure, would be completely content to watch quarterbacks go 1-2-3 and just take Marvin Harrison Jr. and be done with it. But I think it's important for him to look at all options. And if somebody wants to come up there with an offer that blows him away, I think he wants to make sure that the world knows that he's willing to take that phone call. So you see this every year, GMs up high in the draft that, you know, that will talk about, you know, we would consider moving out. And that's an advertisement just to say, hey, let me hear it. You want to come up to number four and get whoever the fourth quarterback is? You know, we'll talk.
So, Graz, with that being said, we focus a lot on the teams that are outside of the top 10 that want to get up to take a quarterback. But I talked to Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants beat for us here at ESPN, and he said the Giants are absolutely in the quarterback business at the top of this year's draft. I'm just curious from your perspective, if you're the Arizona Cardinals, who's the team that you would be most likely to do the dance with, considering that the teams that are outside of the top 10 would give you more draft capital to move up?
Well, right, but the Giants, you'd only have to move back two spots, right?
Correct.
So you could still get, let's say the Chargers take Harrison, you could still get Malik Nabers, right? Like, mm-hmm. So I think if you know, like if quarterbacks go 1-2-3 and then somebody comes up to four and take one, now you know you're getting one of two players that aren't quarter, one of the two best non-quarterbacks in a draft. So moving down to 11, like with Minnesota, that it would cost Minnesota more to come up because 11's not as good as 6. So
sure.
I think that's it. I think the Giants, if they really wanted to get aggressive and go up two spots, would be able to make the deal because it's not as big a move for them. But the question with the Giants is, you know, who's it for, right? Like, here's this Mel Kiper mock, right? So it's got Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. Well, what if the Giants guy is Daniels or May? And now they're not going to want to move up to four. Mm-hmm. So that's the trick is, like, are you going to go up to four for J.J. McCarthy? Does that seem like if you're the Giants, you could probably get him at 6 unless someone else is going to jump you and take him at 4 or 5.
Which could happen.
Which
right?
could happen. Yeah. So you have to assess all of that. And so if they're going up, I think it's for somebody they have, you know, specifically in mind. Unless, again, I keep saying this, if somebody can get up to 3 and they're good with any one of the 3, then that's a nice spot to be in, too.
That's what I was going to ask you, Danner. Do you think that the Patriots would be fielding calls on 3, even
yes.
though we know that they need a quarterback?
I do. And look, they need a quarterback. But if their quarterback is not – if the quarterback that's there at 3 is not one they feel great about, then obviously you have to take the call. I mean, imagine – like, again, we're hypothetical here. Like, the Giants, you're only moving back 3 spots. You're still going to get a great player and you know, maybe another first-rounder next year, which the way the Patriots are right now, I mean, they could use all the picks they can get. Mm-hmm. So I think they absolutely have to consider it, especially if they're not 100% sold on whoever the quarterback is that's there for them at 3.
Graz, at this point as we sit here today, do you believe that J.J. McCarthy will be drafted in the top 5?
At this point, I'm going to say no, just because historically we just don't see it, right? Like 4 quarterbacks in the top 5 is very, very unusual, if not unprecedented. So I would say no. It sounds like there's a lot of buzz around him, and teams are very – it's cold, isn't
I'm
it?
I'm freezing.
Yeah. Make it warmer. Smalls doesn't
– I was thinking that.
My hands are like ice.
It sounds like there's a lot of buzz around J.J. McCarthy. But again, like the idea of moving up to 4 to get – that's a big move. He would have to really impress, I think, throughout this draft process to get to that level or to get into that conversation where he might be one of the top 3. I don't know that he's there yet, but teams are very interested.
Dan, have we formulated consensus on who the second quarterback off the board will be? Because it's been a lot of speculation. Jaden Daniels,
yeah.
Drake May, this thing keeps going back and forth. Who's the second quarterback that...
Yeah.
Who do most people around the league view as that second quarterback on the board?
I don't think anybody really has a great handle on what Washington wants to do yet. And I think people are projecting Jaden Daniels there. I think I don't want to speak for like Mel Kiper and these guys, but I think because, you know, they feel like Daniels is a better player, right? And so I don't know that Washington has decided. And if they go Drake May, then I think it gets really interesting because – you know, is Daniels New England's guy, and does Daniels being there at 3 instead of May incentivize teams more to move up? Like we've heard, you know, that Daniels might be the guy that Minnesota or Las Vegas wants to go up for, but you know, if he's going to go 2, you can't do it. So that might change the market if May goes number 2. And again, what are we, 5 weeks out here? I mean, there's a long way to go, and Daniels and McCarthy and May haven't even had their pro days yet. So, like, a lot can still change in terms of these teams' evaluations of these players. So we'll see. But Washington's been pretty close to the vest. A lot of people seem to think it's Daniels, but I don't know that that's certain at this point.
Is there another team, Dan, that you're paying attention to that you think could take a big swing and try to move up in the draft?
Other than Minnesota from 11, Minnesota and Las Vegas are the two teams that I've heard most consistently in terms of wanting to move up. Now, can they is another story. Denver's sitting there in that same range, but I don't get the sense that they're going to be as aggressive. Maybe I'm wrong. Sean Payton traded up an awful lot in the first round when he was in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. For non-quarterbacks. But I don't get the sense that they're going to want to do that. They're a little light on picks to begin with. So I think I'm looking at the Vikings and the Raiders in those early teens. And then beyond that, it's hard to see somebody making that big a jump up to three or four.
We're talking with Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Dan, what do we need to know about some of the rules, possible changes over the last few days that we have seen come out here?
So the two big ones were the hip drop tackle. They want to ban the hip drop tackle because they felt like it's too high an injury risk play. I know the defensive players around the league are very excited about that, that this is one more thing they're not allowed to do in terms of trying to tackle people. So we'll see what happens. The owners have a meeting next week in Orlando. If 24 of the 32 vote yes, then they'll impose that rule, and they'll make it a 15-yard penalty and an automatic first down. So that, I'm sure, will be a mess in terms of how it's officiated, right? And the other one is the kickoff, which is really interesting. This rule proposal came with a lot of charts and diagrams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It would really look a lot different. And you would kick off from your own 35, but the rest of your team would be on the opponent's 40. And then the opposing team would line up between their own 30 and 35, except for the returners. And no one's allowed to move except the kicker and the returners until the ball hits something, be it the ground or the hands of the returners. And then the idea is they want to do two things. They want to make the kickoff safer because it consistently shows the highest rates of concussions more than any other play. But they also don't want to eliminate it. This past year, there was a record high percentage of touchbacks on kickoffs, fewest returns ever. So they got together with special teams coaches around the league, with players and other people, and they've sort of designed this thing. It's an offshoot of what the XFL did. It's not exactly the same. And the idea is more returns, but a safer play, and we'll see. Again, needs 24 out of 32 owners to approve it, but it sounds like there's some momentum for it, and it would be a drastically different looking play than anything we've seen before once the season starts next year.
Graz, you had an interesting perspective on the quarterback room in Pittsburgh earlier in the week. I know that the Steelers have kind of written Russ in pencil as the starter, and it's not being touted as a quarterback competition with Justin Fields, but could you see a scenario where Justin Fields is on the field as a starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2024?
Absolutely. I mean, if you've watched Russell Wilson play the last 2 years, you know that that's not going to necessarily be impossible to overcome. Now, if Russell comes out and plays much better than he did in Denver, then sure, he holds him off. But if Fields is in practice, Fields is going to be dazzling people in practice where you can't hit the quarterback. When he takes off running, people are going to, it's going to be jaw-dropping, yeah. Right? He can do things on the field that Russell Wilson can't do. Now, Russell may be able to do things that Justin can't do, but if Russell were to struggle, you're going to have a guy in practice that people are going to be pretty excited about. And I mean coaches and players. So, yeah, I don't rule it out. If Russell Wilson plays the way he did in Denver and he struggles, then I think it's absolutely possible. I don't know why they would have brought in Justin Fields if it weren't.
Graz, great stuff as always. You'll see him on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. The biggest upset of the day in college basketball, Oakland over Kentucky. Their head coach will join us next. It's on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Westwood One with the call. The story of the NCAA tournament through one full day. Oakland beating Kentucky 80-76. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. The best story so far in the tournament. Their head coach, Greg Campy, joins us now here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Coach, congratulations on the win. We saw the video of you guys post-game, as serious as could be. Do you consider last night's win an upset?
Oh, yeah. Obviously, it's an upset to everybody in the world but us. You know, but how can you not go into that thinking that? That's how you win. You believe in yourselves. And, you know, I got a group of kids that really believe in themselves, and we've had a great year. We've played some really good teams before Kentucky. We won at Xavier. We played Illinois and Ohio State to the wire. Michigan State got us pretty good, but they always do. And, you know, so we just knew we had a chance, and you got to talk to talk if you're going to walk the walk. So we talked it, and fortunately we walked it.
Coach, in the final 10 minutes, there was about a four-minute stretch where Kentucky held your team to just one field goal. You get a timeout with about 4 minutes to go. You got a two-point lead. What was your message to your team during that timeout that helped your guys close out the ballgame?
Well, I really took the timeout for a rest because Volke hadn't come out of the game. Townsend hadn't come out of the game in the second half. And I just wanted to rest them. And because at the under four, there would be a media timeout, and the first called timeout of the second half is a full timeout too. So I knew I could get two full timeouts in about a 10-second period. And in the NCAA tournament, those timeouts in the Horizon League, our timeouts are about a minute 20. In the NCAA tournament, they're 3 minutes. So that's 6 minutes. That's almost like a halftime of rest. And that's really why I called the timeout. And then I don't have that many smart things to say that you know, they're going to really listen to. So I just let them rest. And then we talked about that we win every close game we play, and we've won for most of the year. We've won 18 of our last 21, and many, many of them have been last-minute, you know, games. And we just, you know, I just tried to instill in them, we win all close games. And you do that by making plays and have the confidence to make it. And if you make a mistake, move on to the next play. That's what we talked about.
Coach, one of the great things about the tournament is that people from all over the country are becoming aware of programs, teams, players that they might not have been familiar with before. Now that you're on this big national stage, what do you want people to know about Oakland basketball that they might not have known before?
Well, I think that we're kind of a likable team because, I mean, I think we acted like we belonged last night. I don't think we acted like jerks when we won. You know, I don't think we didn't run around pounding our chests and things like that. We respected our competition. We won the game. We shook their hand. We went in the locker room. We celebrated, and we get ready for the next one. My team GPA is a 3.25. I got, you know, older kids that are all graduating, and I just think, you know, maybe in this day of the transfer portal, we might be a team that's a good team because we stuck together.
We're talking with Greg Campy, the head coach at Oakland. They beat Kentucky last night. They got NC State coming up here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Two players I want you to highlight, Coach. DQ Cole had a huge three-pointer, 75-74, hits a three from the corner to go up four. That was kind of the clincher there. And then Jack Golke had 32 points in this game, hit 10 three-pointers. Tell the world about those two players and how important they were to your team last night.
Well, I'll start with DQ, and, you know, he's a first-year player for us, and he's kind of taken a back seat to Lampman and Golke and Trey Townsend and Conway and that. And next year when those guys are gone, Conway will be back, but the rest of them are gone. DQ will be our star. He'll be our, you know, all-league player. So we've won a lot of games with him making huge shots down the stretch. And, you know, he's had a couple 20-point games, but for the most part, he lays in the weeds and let those guys do all the work. And then down the stretch, he's really clutch. And that might be the biggest shot ever hit in Oakland. You know, if he misses that shot, we probably lose the game. And so I would say that's probably the biggest basket in Oakland history. And then Golkey, the best part of last night is after when we got back to the hotel and had our team meal, the jokes that were going around on about social media, about the way people were just saying, you know, Kentucky just got beat by a guy that looks like he's going to be selling insurance next year. And, you know, he's a used car salesman. And our players were ripping him about that and just laughing and having fun. But, you know, Jack is a confident shooter, and we want him shooting. You know, I had a buddy of mine who used to be one of my assistants asked me earlier in the year, have you given him more of a green light than anybody? And I said, yeah, probably that's true, because he can make those tough-looking shots, so let him shoot them.
Coach, how do you tackle the challenge of getting your team to refocus after such an emotional win against Kentucky and get ready for a hot NC State team that won the ACC Conference Tournament and just had a win yesterday over Texas Tech?
That's a hell of a question, and, you know, that's the fine line you walk. When you're in our situation and you win a game of that magnitude, right? The good about last night is, and this is going to sound wrong, you know, people are going to say, come on, coach, but it's true. I mean, we did not have our A game last night. I think we did defensively, but offensively, we're a great free throw shooting team, one of the top teams in the country. We were like 10 of 20. I mean, we missed free throw after free throw, and then we shot it poorly. We made the three. We shot the three 15 of 31, which is great. But we shot the two as bad as we've ever shot it. So I feel good that, you know, we can come back Saturday and maybe play offense better. The only way we're going to win, though, is if we defend the way we defended last night. We out-rebounded Kentucky, and that's unbelievable when you look at it with their size and all that. So if we can do that and refocus and forget about this, and one of the things I told them was, you know, this is going to change your lives. This is going to be the greatest win, you know. But you know what? There's a couple more out there that could make this just a game. We've got a couple more that we could make that be even greater than this. And so let's focus and get back to, you know, the belief that, you know, we talk on the court all the time about make the next play. Well, let's go make the next play in the next game now, and let's keep this winning going so we can stay together and keep practicing.
I love that messaging, Coach. And I also love that you've been at Oakland University for 40 seasons now. To have a tenure like that at one university in modern sports is so rare. But what is it about this program that made you want to stay there that long?
Hell, nobody wants me other than Oakland. You know, that's, I don't know. I mean, it's very rare in your life that you get to grow in your profession with an institution, right? So when I got the Oakland job 40 years ago, we were 9,000 students with about 1,000 on campus. Now we're 20,000 with 5,000 on campus. There's been a crane on our campus for the last 40 years. We've grown and built, and it's become quite a vibrant place. We have a great fan base. I mean, last night we were as loud as Big Blue Nation. They had a few more, but we were close. But we were as loud as they were. I mean, it's an unbelievable fan base, and they love Oakland basketball. It's a hard thing to leave. And, you know, I mean, honestly, I've been offered a lot of jobs, but to me, they've never been better than Oakland. I haven't been offered a Power 5 job where you make $5 million and you can go to the Final Four, you know. And honestly, if that ever happened, I would have taken it. But that never happened. And jobs that are perceived better than the one I had, I just never perceived that way. I loved where I live. I had three young boys that grew up and loved their, you know, I didn't want to take them out of their school. I didn't want to be that dad, you know, and fortunately for me in year 40, it worked out pretty good.
Coach Campy, let's finish with this. This is amazing, by the way, and you're going to obviously have another game, and you'll promise us now that if you advance to next week, you'll come on with us again next week. So thank you for that, even though I didn't give you a chance to answer. So we appreciate that. We've been discussing this morning, John Calipari, what is the job of the head coach of Kentucky? Is it to get guys to the pros, or is it to win games in college?
So now you're talking about one of my close friends, okay? So I think John Calipari is one of the, if not the best coach in college basketball. I think he's one of them. You go as coaches, you go through some ruts. I don't care if you're at Kentucky or at Oakland. There's going to be some years that you just can't get done what you believe as a coach you should get done. Now, at Kentucky, they're going to be a little more cruel than they are at Oakland. And so I'm sure people are coming after him. But what he's done in his tenure there, and he should continue to do, he's trying to do both, okay? He's trying to do both. He's trying to make pros. He's trying to get those kids that he – I mean, if you make an NBA salary and you're smart, you're set for life. And that's what he wants for his kids because they're like family to us, okay? Once we coach them and recruit them, they're our kids. And so he wants to do that, and at the same time, he wants to win. As good of friends as we are, I mean, I felt awful for him, but if you don't think he wants to win a national championship and if you don't think he wants to win and hang banners, everybody's wrong. He does. And it's just sometimes you go through droughts. He will get them back, and I wouldn't doubt they win the national championship next year. And that's who that guy is, and he's great.
Well, Coach, unbelievable job last night. Best of luck against NC State, and we appreciate the time here this morning.
Hey, if we beat them, I'll be on for sure.
All right, perfect. All right,
thanks,
there's
Coach.
Greg Campy, the head coach of Oakland. Now we are going to – that's our team now. We're all in. We're Oakland.
Let's go, Oakland.
We're an Oakland show, Oakland Golden Grizzlies. And by the way, when I say we're an Oakland show, Pat and Nuno had no idea they were in Michigan until Javonte told them this morning. Just saying. I thought it was very interesting. He answered one of your questions and said, we didn't have our A game last night.
Yeah.
And they beat Kentucky.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm over it next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. But first, I do want to tell everybody about True Green. It has been the trusted source for people for over 50 years to make their lawn game to that next level. If you're ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank, True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners, me included, for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn, guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. All you got to do is water and mow your lawn, and they're going to make it look beautiful. It's the springtime, summer. You're going to have people over. It's got to look good. True Green can do that for you. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The birthday boy, Pat Costello, 29 years old today. Happy birthday, Pat. And now he will tell us why he's miserable with everything in the world. Go ahead, Pat.
Well, guys, as you all know, I'm nothing if not a flip-flopper. I was completely disappointed with my bracket yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Oh, here we go.
He literally said yesterday he is so sick of bracket guy, gambling guy, unless you're a translator, fantasy football guy, doesn't want to hear about your bets or your picks. Now, here's Pat with his picks.
My bracket was busted in the first half of the first game. I had Mississippi State go to the Final Four.
To the Final Four?
Yeah,
wow.
I was really in. I took a shot on them because, you know, what fun is it to just go chalk? And, the first half, I was like, oh, that's it. My bracket's, I'm just done. Like, I got no hope anymore.
Going against Coach Izzo ain't a great strategy when it comes to putting together your bracket, right?
Yeah, it's bold.
Not. That's a bracket from a guy who doesn't have any money on it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Oh, well, there's that too.
By the way, speaking of brackets, the Tournament Challenge, which people can go to ESPN.com or the Tournament Challenge app, but you can still enter the women's brackets. So right now, of the ESPN radio hosts, Emmett Golden, game night, first place. Harry Douglas, Freddie and Harry, second place. Third place, Ty, CeCe and I, Greeny, Jay Reynolds, Hembo, Q Myers.
Wow.
It's a good crew.
I don't feel great about it, though.
Well, let me make you feel better.
Better than where I'm at.
Yeah. Second to last would be Smalls. And last place, Joe Fortenbaugh.
Yep.
The man who's supposed to know all the odds and the picks.
And by the way,
He knows too much. That's the problem.
My national champ is still alive. I could skyrocket up those rankings.
That could all change. Absolutely. It could all change.
1,000%.
I'd also bet that Joe Fortenbaugh definitely made some good money yesterday, regardless of his bracket status.
Are you sponsored by him today?
Noon to three. It's also odd to me that we care so much about the Final Four and making the Final Four, which I'm not sure if I'm even allowed to say, but it's in no other sport do we care this much about making the semifinals, but we care a lot about making the semifinals in the tournament. And it's arguably treated better than actually making the finals and losing. It's so strange to me. I've never understood it. I think it's just marketing.
That is a great point, because people do hang Final Four banners even if you don't win it. Like in these arenas, like they'll hang up a Final Four team, and it's just like, why are we doing that? You didn't actually win anything.
Yeah, you say.
Well, I guess you won your region, but does that really matter if you didn't win the whole tournament?
You say it like a badge of honor.
Yeah,
you're right.
Imagine if the Ravens hung up an AFC finalist banner.
An AFC championship
game
banner.
We would destroy them.
Oh, of course we would.
AFC championship.
Remember the Colts?
Game
the Colts
we
did
didn't
that.
Win the game, but we were there. What?
It's so strange.
Look in the rafters. We
exactly.
were there.
We were there. We were in the Final Four of the NFL. Yeah, nobody gives a damn about that.
No, they don't.
It is marketing. It's actually brilliant marketing. They should teach a class about that. That's actually brilliant.
Final Four marketing?
It's what Pat just said is actually brilliant.
Yeah, but then also when you consider the pool of teams, like not just the teams that get into the tournament, but the teams throughout the college basketball landscape.
Yeah.
I mean, it starts to put it into perspective. Like you were one of the Final Four best teams in all of college basketball in that season. When you think about the hundreds of programs in college basketball, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, okay, maybe I could see why you would put some stock into that.
I don't know. Unless there's some hardware involved and you're winning a title, you should not have a banner.
Let me ask you something. Just in the Final Four concept, let's say in the NFL, the AFC and NFC championship games were played the week before the Super Bowl at the same location as the Super Bowl. Would we look at it different? Because it would feel a lot different then. Like, hey, we're all like four teams go to Vegas.
They're
right?
on the premises.
They're all on the. It's the Final Four. Like, you could change the branding. Now you don't get a home game then for the AFC or NFC championship game.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Right, but I'm saying from a branding and marketing, we would probably look at.
You could make it bigger.
You would look at the semifinals bigger.
It's not a bad idea. Well, it's not a bad idea.
Troy Vincent, University of Wisconsin. If you use this, I get free Wisconsin gear. Go ahead. Next, Pat.
I thought you were
younger sister.
Free NFL Final Four tickets.
No, I don't want that. Okay. I want Wisconsin gear.
My younger sister said she likes ice cream cake more than regular cake, and that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Ice cream cake is fine at best. Regular cake far surpasses ice cream cake.
Nah,
it's not even close.
Are you kidding?
It's not even close.
This is a hot take. You're absolutely out of your mind.
No.
I grew up on the Carvel ice cream cake with the whale. That thing was awesome, man. Like, I actually ordered.
Those things in between?
Oh, they're so good.
What are they called?
I don't know. The little
is that what you're talking about?
It's amazing. Oh, my God.
It's amazing.
I've never had a Carvel, but I've had DQ.
I ordered one of these back during the holidays and just had it for me to have for dessert.
Just a snack?
Like for the entirety of the week. Like it was known that it was going to be mine.
Just
like
a
my wife doesn't
treat.
Eat like that anyway, but I bought myself an entire ice cream cake, not celebrating anything except just celebrating me.
You know what? I'm ready to actually go in.
I'm celebrating me.
With a Carvel
with this damn ice cream cake. And it's all mine. And I'm willing to die about my ice cream cake. I'll fight for my ice cream cake.
I love that.
You better believe it.
I think ice cream cake is actually the single best dessert that has ever been made.
What?
Yeah.
To say it's fine at best is
it
so
is.
Far
it's just ice cream.
Unbelievable.
It's just ice cream with icing on it.
I'm not saying it's the best now. You're jumping out the window.
No, I'm not.
One. Yes, you are.
I love chipwiches. I love cookie cakes. Ice cream cake, the Carvel ice cream cake with whatever those little things are called in between the vanilla and chocolate, those cookie crumble things, when it's right and you got the good frosting on it, it's better than anything. It is phenomenal, and you cannot just eat one piece.
The gel frosting on top is
that's
really
what it
good
is.
Too.
Yeah, whatever that is. Exactly right.
The best dessert ever, though?
Yeah, not ever.
Ever?
It's not ever.
Nah, it's not
it's
ever.
It's really good.
It's not even the best cake
it's in
ever.
The tournament, but it's not the best
yeah,
ever.
Exactly.
We're not giving it the banner.
It might be in the Sweet 16. It might be in the Sweet 16.
Maybe Elite Eight.
Elite Eight, exactly.
Elite Eight's the ceiling.
Elite Eight, there you go.
Wrong.
You mean like a hot cookie skillet with ice cream on top? You think that?
I love that, too.
But you think that an ice cream cake is better than that?
I can go. Well, that's kind of like
a fancy
chip, which is basically what you're saying, right? With the cookie skillet with the ice cream. That's kind of what that is. What?
Isn't a chipwich cold?
Noah's so excited about Fudgy the Whale.
Fudgy the Whale.
I was. It's amazing. He's great.
Look at Fudgy's eyebrows.
We have Fudgy's Whale on ESPN 2 right
now. He looks a little... He looks like he's questioning you.
I mean, that whale has brought me a lot of joy. A lot of joy
in my
life.
Those Carvel milkshakes back in the day?
No, for sure.
That whale's made brought me a lot.
Carvel, sponsor
very,
here.
Very happy. I'm just sitting here thinking about the elite desserts, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd have to put peach cobbler, banana pudding. Like
over an ice cream cake?
Yeah, man.
No way.
Yeah, man. You got
banana pudding's so good.
It's so good with them Nilla wafers on it.
Oh, yeah,
man.
So good.
If you got somebody that know what they doing, man, that is special. That is special. I don't know.
Next one, Pat.
Bitcoin. I don't understand it. I don't get it. It seems like a Ponzi scheme, I think. I don't really know. Does anyone know?
No.
It's an NFT? I don't know. What's going on there?
I don't know how Bitcoin works.
How is it money? I don't get it. I don't really think I understand anything with finances.
Who are you asking this question to? You think we're going to have an answer?
No, he's putting it out there in the ether, and I'm with him on that one. Like, I need a better mind to explain this one to me.
Okay, so I have one of my girlfriend's works in crypto, and okay. I was asking her to explain it to me, and I tell you, I glossed over so quickly. I could not compute what she was trying to tell
Michelle,
me. I just stared at her with a blank face.
Is there anywhere that you don't have a source? Like, you just got friends who have information on everything, I feel like.
I have people out in the world, Pat, that I can go to.
Streets of St. Louis.
Streets of Missouri. Well, actually, she's here in the city, but yeah. Streets of Missouri have never let me down with the info.
And she has a great dentist, she says.
I'm looking for a dentist in New York, actually.
We're unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.